Hallelujah, hallelujah. There is no one like Jesus. There is no one like Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. It is a special Sunday. We have the honor of these wonderful young people in service with us this morning. We've had as many as 47 upstairs with 5 absent. That would have been 52 if my math is right. I'm proud of that. I'm proud of these young people. From the ages of 5 up, that's amazing. That's amazing. And they are a direct product and result of who and what you are. They watch, they absorb. All of our staff at one point or another has talked to me and I've talked to them. It is amazing when you think that one particular one is not listening, how much they actually retained and absorbed. They watch. Mom, dad, aunt, uncle, grandparent, saint, they're watching. Amen. So we're going to be talking to them today, but we're also going to be talking to you. And I want to start this service off by telling every one of you that these altars are open. I want these young people to get the Holy Ghost. I want us to be full of the Holy Ghost. I want them to grow up to be like some of you, saints on fire for God. That's our passion. Will you help me today? Amen, amen. Would you stand for the reading of the word this morning? I want to lay some foundation, so I have quite a bit of text, but it's going to go pretty quick. Proverbs 6, verse 16. These 6 things doth the Lord hate, yea, 7 are abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Proverbs 6, verse 27, verse 28. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? 1 John 2, verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, say that with me, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, say that, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, say that with me, young people, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, hear me. Little children, the scripture says, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. 2 John verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. And finally, Matthew 24, starting with verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be a sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumor of wars. Has anybody heard of a war lately? See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All of these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Never before in the history of man have we lived in an age where the world is just so cold and callous towards church, towards God, towards religion. The scripture goes on, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. and then shall the end come. Dear Jesus, bless us today as we come to hear your word. Open our minds and our hearts. God, touch every parent, every grandparent, every visitor, every saint, every young man, every young woman under the sound of my voice. I pray, God, in advance that your Holy Ghost power comes in among us today and does a work. Feed us today in the name of Jesus. Everyone said, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I have with me today a couple of things here. I would like for this to, the scripture says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. I would like for this to represent the lust of the flesh. I would like for this to represent the lust of the eye. And I would like for this to represent the pride of life. The pride of life. Amen. We read about a king in the scriptures by the name of Jeroboam. A prophet had already told him that he was going to be king. And Jeroboam had a son like many of you. He had a son, and many of us are sons. And his son had fallen sick, and Jeroboam, he was a wicked king. In fact, if you study the word, you'll discover that he was the king who led Israel from worshiping in Jerusalem and set up a golden calf at Dan and at Bethel. He was the wickedest king the nation of Israel had ever known. And when his son fell sick, Jeroboam went to his wife and said, honey, I want you to do something. I want you to disguise yourself. I want you to take off your royal robes and put on the cloak of a peasant. And I want you to go and I want you to find the prophet who told me that I was going to be king. And if you can find that prophet, he can tell us what is going to happen to our son. And that queen, she left the parlor of that king and she found her some rugged, ratty clothes and she put them on and she messed up her hair real good and she threw some dust on her face and she put on the old raggedy garments of a peasant and a poor person and she picked up her sick boy and she began to walk down the streets of that city of Jerusalem looking for the prophet. When she found where the prophet lived, she knocked on the door of his little hut. And here's what I want you to notice. The Bible says that the prophet was blind. He could not see. He was completely blind. When the queen walked into his house, God had already spoken to the prophet and told him that this lady was not a peasant, but the queen, the wife of Jeroboam. She was pretending herself. She was faking everybody out. Has anybody ever faked anybody out? Let me see your hands. Have you ever faked anybody? Have you ever put on a disguise? That's what she was doing. She was disguising herself. She was feigning herself. That's a big word, but that means pretending. A facade, a veneer. Something that she was not. But God had already told the preacher what she really was. And when that queen walked into the house of the prophet dressed as a peasant, the preacher looked at her with blinded eyes and said, queen, why feignest thyself? Why are you pretending to be something and somebody else? I know who you really are. I know what's behind those peasant garments. I know you're pretending. You're not really acting and being who you really are. Notice something. The queen walked from the palace to the preacher's home, and nobody, say that with me, nobody, nobody recognized that she was the queen of the country. Nobody, nobody, nobody. The lawyers did not recognize her. The doctors did not recognize her. The teachers did not recognize her. The professors in the universities did not recognize that she was the queen. Her own parents did not recognize her. There was only one who could discern who she was, the preacher. The preacher. The preacher is the watchman on the wall. There are some things I'm here to tell you that the
the devil will come at you with, sir, ma'am, young person. The devil's going to come at you with some things that maybe your teachers don't recognize it. Maybe the lawyers will not recognize it. The doctors will not recognize it. The professors will not recognize it. Maybe your own parents will not recognize it. But the preacher, that's why God has put in your midst a God-called man. The preacher is the watchman on the wall. There are some sins that you may not think to be sins, and they might not be sin, but the preacher knows that if you do this, it's going to lead you to this. Thank God for our pastor. Thank God for the watchman on the wall. Thank God for somebody in your life who will look you eyeball to eyeball and stand toe to toe and say, this is what the Bible says. That's why I need a preacher. Have any of our young, have you heard of a man by the name of Sergeant Sam? Anybody? No? I need a few volunteers this morning. Brother Preston, Brother Whitman, Brother Cameron, Sister Autumn, I see you hiding back there. Oh, Brother Roderick, I see you, buddy. Come on. Sister Asia, how are you, my sister? Hallelujah. This is a soul-winning woman right here. She has brought more people to church. I am telling you, every Tuesday night, she has somebody with her. Amen. Could you all stand if I called your name and just come up for Brother Dwayne, why don't you come help us? Sergeant Sam. Y'all heard of Sergeant Sam, right? They were in the Army. Sister Virginia, you can come. You can come. Yeah, come on. Now y'all, can y'all be in the Army? Do y'all remember the Lord's Army we did last Sunday? Okay. Y'all remember that, Lord's Army? Y'all just come over here where everybody can see you. And y'all just file up right here like you're in an army. We got a good-looking army, don't we? But y'all remember Sergeant Sam? Y'all can just stand at attention, get in a straight line. No, you don't stand double tap. You get over here on the right side, you see. Yeah, attention is down like that. There you go. It's like this. Yeah, yes, sir, yeah. Mm-hmm. Attention. Yeah, there we go. They're in my army this morning, but you've heard of Sergeant Sam. Sergeant Sam, he had his platoon, and they were camped on the edge of the desert, and they were waiting for the army to come and their enemy to come, and the enemy never came. All of the other sergeants, all of the other leaders, their soldiers were playing cards. Their soldiers were sleeping in, getting extra chow at chow time. But not Sergeant Sam's army. Sergeant Sam's army was doing jumping jacks. Can y'all do some jumping jacks? Come on, let me see some jump. Come on. Hey, you're in the army. Jumping jacks. Come on. Let's go. Come on. Jumping jacks. There you go. Y'all just keep the... You don't like doing jump. You do a couple laps around here. Y'all, come on, come on. I need two or three of y'all. Take a lap. You're in the army. You got to be obedient. Come on, lead out. Lead out. Follow. Come on. Yeah, come on. No jumping jack. Y'all. Just make a couple laps around. But Sergeant Sam's army, you know, they were working out. They were being obedient. Some people don't like to run, obviously. I'm in y'all's group. I don't like to run either. But while everybody else was laying around enjoying the good time, there is no enemy in sight. Sergeant Sam's army was running. They were doing calisthenics. They were doing PT time. They were working their tail. Nobody wanted to be in Sergeant Sam's army. Y'all don't like my army, do you? Come on, let's pick up the pace a little bit. Come on, go a little bit faster. Y'all don't want to be in my army, do you? Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, I got some that are willing and some who are weak. Hallelujah. But one day, they got word that the enemy was closing in from the north and from the east and from the south. They were surrounded, camped on the side of the desert. Y'all come, Brother Whitman, you are doing a good job. Come on, Sister Virginia's passing you up. Just keep on going. Guys, you're in the back of the pack now. Come on. Boy, I like having them down here. This is fun. So they got word that the enemy was coming in. You run in silence. You don't run talking, guys. And the enemy's coming in from the north and the east and the south. The only way of escape was across the desert. So they started marching across that desert. And they started marching and running and running and running. You can come back up here at attention, guys. Catch your breath. And do you know what happened? when they got to the other side, they began to look around. They began to count. Do you know the only ones that made it across that desert were the men and women in Sergeant Sam's platoon? Because he had kept them in shape. He had kept them in check. Everybody else, not a shot was fired. The enemy would literally come by. He would literally come by. And he would pick him up. Come here. Come here. He would pick him up. And he would go and he would put him in the paddy wagon. Here, you're in jail. You're a captive. That's what they did. They picked up everybody else except for the men and women who were in Sergeant Sam's platoon. You can be seated. Thank you. All of a sudden, all of those men and women that wanted out of Sergeant Sam's army, they realized, wow, because of him, we made it. Because of his dedication and his passion and his commitment and his choice to push us farther and faster and harder, we made it. Nobody else made it but the men and women who were in Sergeant Sam's platoon. That's why I need a preacher. Sin, hear me, sin has to disguise itself. Sin has to wear a costume to protect itself from what it really is. If you could see sin as loathsome and ugly and ghastly and deadly, a monster that it really is, you need a preacher. Sin is always disguised. Sin is always disguised. Sin has to wear a cloak. When Jesus came, he said, I'm gonna strip the cloak off of sin. I have come to make sin exceedingly sinful. I'm gonna strip the clothing off of sin so that you can see what sin really is. Sin wears a pretty coat. To Adam, it was cloaked in the sweetness of a fruit, the lust of the eye. To Absalom, sin was cloaked in the kingly robe and the throne that he sought, the pride of life. To David, sin was wrapped in the beautiful body of a woman, the lust of the flesh. To Elimelech, sin was clothed in the wickedness of that day. To Samson, sin was cloaked in the beautiful foreign land. Sin never comes and says, look at me, here's what I really am. Sin is a deceiver. Sin never comes and says, look, this is what I'll do to you. But when it's finished, the Bible says it bringeth forth death. That's why I need a preacher. That's why I need a Sunday school teacher. That's why I need a mama and a daddy and a saint and a grandparent. Somebody that will stand for truth and right. The wages of sin, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Sin is death. It may be perfumed. Its fashion is constantly changing. It comes at you in a million different forms. Sin constantly changes its wardrobe so that you cannot recognize it. That's why you need a preacher. That's why you need a preacher. Sin cloaks itself sometimes in a very elegant manner. Sometimes it's in a very persuasive personality. That's why I need a preacher. Say it with me, young people. That's why I need a preacher. Sin cloaks itself sometimes in songs of suggestiveness. Sometimes in synthetic morality or false religion. That's why I